May the love of our God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with all of us. Amen. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. This is one of the prayers Jesus has prayed on his last prayer when the time has come that he is going to heaven to his glory. Why Jesus left the disciples in this troubled world and going to the heaven? Why is he leaving them alone? Let me tell you my short story. In 1994, 21 years ago, when I was 21 years old, now I'm 42, so it is a combination, I was sent as a missionary to a very remote village, which is about 140 miles from where the city I was born and grew up. The village I was sent was, since it's very remote, there was no electricity, there was no pure water, there was no road, there was no enough food. For me, for the boy who was born in the city where everything was facilitated, it was a very difficult time. Not only that, after 1 month, I got a pneumonia and I was seriously sick. There was no clinic, there was no hospital, nowhere to go. Even to go somewhere, it is hard to get a car because car on that way may come once or twice a week. And it is, you have to be strong to get a place to sit, but I'm weak. So I couldn't do anything, and I prayed to the Lord. Lord, I have no way to go out from this troubled life situation I am in. So the only way I can go is go to heaven. So, Lord, take me home. You know what God said? It is not time for you to come home. You have to stay. You have a lot to work. That's 21 years ago. Within these 21 years, God has done a lot of things in my life. That's why Jesus left his disciples in the world. That's why he asked the Father, keep them in the world, because they are a messengers of light and salt for this world. I just want to see three of Jesus' prayer in connection to his ministry and the life of his disciples. The first Jesus prayer in the New Testament is the prayer he prayed in the wilderness for 40 days and a night. That was a very long and a challenging prayer. He prayed in the wilderness. He fasted and he was struggling with the power of demons. And he was tempted by the Satan for 40 days and a night. Why he prayed that long prayer and a challenging prayer? I think it was because of three things. The first one is he is preparing himself for the ministry who is behind him. He is going to challenge the power of evil who controlled the world after human beings fall in sin. So he is fighting with this powerful who is possess the property of God, human beings. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 29, Jesus said, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first tie up the strong man? So, Jesus is going to rob, take back the one which devil took in the garden. Before that, he has to fight and destroy and get control over this, the power of evil. The second reason he prayed is he is going to call his disciples, his followers. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, he finished his prayers and fasting. The next verse, what he did was, he called his disciples. He called Peter, he called Andrew, James, John, he called them. Before he called them, he has to pray to discern the right person for his ministry. Because as we see in our today's text, one of the disciples already taken by the evil one. So he has to pray strongly to protect them and to equip them for his ministry and for the ministry they are going to do. The third is he has to inspire them and a good model for the disciples in prayer life, because everything, every ministry has to go with prayer. It's not by power, it's not by their knowledge, it's not by their strength, it is by the power of the Holy Spirit. The second Jesus' prayer he prayed was the one he prayed before he elected his disciples. That is, before he elected the disciples, in Matthew chapter 9, he prayed before he sent them for the ministry now. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 38, Jesus prayed for the disciples, saying, "Pray for the Lord to the harvest of the Lord, that he may send the laborers for the ministry." So he prayed for them, and he told them also to pray to the Father of the harvest. After that, he sent them two by two. The last prayer Jesus prayed was the one he prayed today. He prayed for the disciples, for the Father, saying, "Keep them in the world, and also keep them from the evil one. Don't take them out of the world, as I've said, because their mission and their ministry is in the world. As you, the Father, sent me to the world, now it is their time, it is their turn, that they may serve you in the world." But the very important prayer there is, he said, "Keep them from the evil one." Where this evil one came from? We have to go to the Genesis story. In Genesis chapter 2, God created a human being in his image and he put them in the garden where everything they need is available. And he said to them, "You are free to eat everything in the garden, but you don't have to eat a tree of knowledge of good and evil." Now evil comes. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. These two contradict ideas. As we know, normally, number two is in the middle of one and three. Thus we know it. We say one, two, three. Two. In Genesis chapter 2, God gave the first law, the first commandment to the human being he has created by saying, "Eat everything, but do not eat this tree of knowledge of good and evil." So as I've said, when you go to Genesis chapter 1, we see only good. God created everything and he said, "It is good. It is good. It is good." 6 times God say, "It is good." There is no any word mentioned in chapter 1 of Genesis. Everything was good. In the middle, in the chapter 2, God gave them the commandment, the law of not to eat. What is the tree of knowledge of good and evil? In the first, in Genesis chapter 1 and the chapter 2, Adam and Eve only hear the voice of the Lord. But when we come to chapter 3, the new voice is coming from Satan, talking to Adam and Eve, giving them another commandment which contradicts the God's law. Then they began to hear, to listen what this Satan is saying. And not only that, they followed that and they fall in sin. They become disobedient to God. They become under the judgment of God and under the wrath of God. Not only that, they become under the control of this evil power, what Jesus is praying about. So, in chapter 1, it was good. Everything was good. In chapter 2, it is the chapter of choice. In chapter 3, the dominion of evil power over all creation. That's why Jesus is praying to keep them from this tempter who tempts every human being. Because Jesus knew, he has seen in Matthew chapter 4 how it is hard to struggle with this power. Before Jesus came to his ministry, this devil who struggled in the Eden, Garden of Eden, is struggling with Jesus. That's why Jesus knows how ministry is hard. He prayed for them this powerful prayer. Today also we need that prayer since we are living in the world full of evil. Today, as every one of you know, when you open the television or radio, whatever media, you hear about evil things happening in Africa, in Asia, here in the United States, in all the world. This power, the spirit of power who dominating the earth is doing a lot of destruction. As you may have heard, 3 or 4 weeks ago, my brothers, Ethiopian brothers, has beheaded by the ISIS group in the desert of Libya because of their Christians. This evil power is working everywhere. So that's why we need a prayer. Even though we are in the world which is dominated by the evil power, but we have a good news. We have a message we tell to the world. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, Paul wrote like this: "When you were dead through the trespasses and the sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, but God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Hallelujah. Because of this, today we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Amen.